What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of She or They with Kittens. I'm Kittens, and today I've got Jordan Gonzalez on with me. He's an amazing actor, and he plays Ash on Pretty Little Liars Original Sin on HBO Max, which is so good. If you haven't watched, it's fantastic. If you like horror and you also liked Pretty Little Liars before, or like mystery murder vibes, like go binge the show. But it's just so, so cool because the way that they wrote this show is completely different from, like, honestly anything I've seen for a really long time. The representation, the perspective, having especially something that's like more on the horror side of things be centering female voices and experiences, queer voices and experiences, and having Ash, who Jordan plays, an openly trans masculine character, so normalized was just really, really, honestly, like, groundbreaking to me. And I'm just super excited to get into this conversation. So me and Jordan are going to talk all things Pretty Little Liars. We're going to talk about queer representation in media, TV, film, and specifically about trans masculine characters and identities being represented. There is a very different experience from just lesbian or gay relationships when it comes to trans characters and their stories, and especially not having them be tokenized or tragic. I feel like a lot of times we get very, very tragic stories, tragic coming outs, and the way that they wrote Ash's character and story is just really refreshing. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about how to stay empowered when you are chasing a dream or a career that's got a lot of no's, a lot of rejection, a lot of obstacles, and also how to find strength and power in yourself to be who you are and be authentic despite rejection you may face from society. So before we get into that, make sure you like, subscribe, follow, do all the things. Come find us on Instagram at she, her, they. Mine is at I am kittens. And also you can check out the website www.sheherthey.me. I'll put it somewhere in here. And there you can check out the playlist, and there's also a Discord. So if you are looking for community, wow, I can't talk. If you're looking for community, there is a beautiful one in the She, Her, They Discord. We've got people of all identities. It's very, very safe and loving and beautiful, and just everyone's great. And we talk about all kinds of stuff. So go check that out. But let's get into today's episode right now. Hi, how are you?
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
I'm so good. Thank you for doing this. I'm so psyched to have you.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm
so good. Yeah. I was wanting to get into everything already. Can you go ahead and introduce yourself for everybody, your name, pronouns, how you identify, and what you do in your career?
For sure. My name is Jordan Gonzalez. My pronouns are he, him. I identify as a man of trans masculine experience. And I say that because there's just so much more to me as Jordan than just being trans. And I am an actor, and I play Ash Romero on HBO Max's Pretty Little Liars Original Sin.
So I loved Pretty Little Liars already, but like, I love a good horror situation. And so I was already going to watch it. And then knowing that you were going to be in, I was like, oh my God, what the fuck? This is tight. There's just so much about, I think, your journey and the show and your character and the representation, everything, that I really am just excited to get into. So can you tell me a little bit about what the experience was like for you just being on this show that has such massive mainstream cult following already from the original part, but now on a huge streaming platform like HBO? How has it been kind of transitioning into this phase of being yourself, playing a trans character, playing an openly queer character on a show like this that is just everyone seeing it?
Yeah, it's, I mean, I first off never thought I was going to be an actor. I grew up in a small town in Georgia. I went to Catholic school for 12 years. And so I didn't have, yeah, exactly. Like, I didn't have the vernacular to even know what the word trans was. So I first, of course, identified as a lesbian, and I came out pretty young for, I feel like, Georgia at a Catholic school. I came out when I was 16.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's brave.
I never felt like I wanted to hide myself, and if that meant I was going to be kicked out or unsupported, or I didn't care, and I wanted to live authentically, and I think I've done a pretty good job of doing so. Mm-hmm. Because for me, it was just the most important thing to me. It's not the same case for everyone. Not everyone is safe enough to have those means to come out. And I recognize that privilege. But yeah, like, I came out for the first time when I was 16, and then I came out for the second time 5 years ago when I started my medical transition. And I never in a million years thought that I would be an actor. But it was so important to me to be that representation in the media, because I didn't have that growing up. And I wanted to push that needle forward, and I wanted there to be a kid in our country or another country where it's not even accepted at all, like Iran, and have someone to look up to for them. Mm-hmm. So I booked the role of Ash around this time last year, actually. And it was an incredible and a really interesting experience and a really eye-opening experience.
Jumping into acting is not an easy thing to do. I think everybody's heard a million stories about how hard of an industry it is and how hard it is to get booked for anything, let alone a huge role like Ash or like any character on HBO or streaming or anything like that. So do you feel like this was a thing that sort of not fell in your lap? Like, obviously you were working for it, but kind of a like meant to be that presented itself and you just ran with it? Or were you actively pursuing a certain angle in acting?
I had a couple. I was working in PR and I was really unhappy. And so many people are like, I am so passionate about what I do. And I've always heard about that. I never really had that.
And in PR.
So, yeah, well, just like in general, you know, like people like, oh, like I love music, I'm a musician, that's my thing, like that's what I'm gonna do. And I've done so many things, like, you know, I've worked at a gym, I've worked in PR, I've worked in marketing, I've been a stylist, I've done and tried all these things that I was decent at, but none of those things were fulfilling to me. And so by happen chance, I had a couple friends who were actors, and they were like, you're an actor. And I was like, that's funny. No, I'm not. I like stability. I don't like being told no. I'm a Taurus. I'm stubborn. Like, that's never going to work out for me.
Yeah.
I'm like, just try it. And so I got a manager and I tried it and I fucking loved it. And I was like, this is my thing. And then, you know, circling back to, did I try like a certain angle in the industry? Of course. I think it was also like, am I talented and I worked my butt off to get there? Absolutely. I mean, there were hundreds of thousands of no's before you see the yes in Ash Romero. Mm-hmm. And many a times where I was like, what are you doing, dude? Like, give up. Mm-hmm. And the second that you're on that precipice, I feel like of actually, you know, something sticking, is when you're like, I'm gonna give up.
Yeah.
And that's when it happened. And it just so happened to be a trans masculine role, which I always wanted my first role to be, for representation in our community and for myself. And then, you know, after this role, I don't know that I want to play another trans character, because I don't want to limit myself, you know? Like, and I think if I'm just as talented as any other guy, let me in the room.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let me play the part.
Absolutely. Do you feel like you feel like it would pigeonhole you if you did that again?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you feel like that's, because I don't think I've seen any trans mask actors playing non-trans roles. I can't think of any. Am I tripping? I don't think so. I mean,
I can't think of any off the top of my head, no.
Yeah, I think we're seeing a lot of trans femme representation like over the last few years, which is amazing. So things are moving in the right direction for sure. But I think we'd all like to see a lot more trans mask representation and visibility across the board. Mm-hmm. How do you, I mean, I think the whole thing about trying something over and over with all the no's and all the struggles and wanting to give up, I think that's such a testament to how the universe works. Mm-hmm. Because everybody that I know, especially people in entertainment, but anyone I know who's kind of like self-employed to some degree and chasing their path and their journey that's not really set up in a, this is what you do and then you apply for this job and work your way up. Like when you're kind of going rogue in this other direction, it takes so much more willpower and trust in yourself. And the universe, I feel like, really gets you. It's like, you want to give up? Don't give up. No, hold on a little longer. Here's why. Here's why. Here's the thing to keep you going. And every time, I feel like it's a tiny reward that you held on long enough and the universe shows you like, this is why you held on. Here's something really good to keep you going, because it's still going to be mad obstacles along the way. It's not going to be easy from here on out. But here's a nice like snack to hold you over and keep you going on the path.
Yep, exactly. Okay. And I know you experienced the same thing. Oh, you yeah. know, when you and I first met, I think you were maybe not even that I knew of starting into music.
Yeah, I don't know. I was probably in my like early stages. We've known each other so long.
Yeah, really long.
Yeah, I think we've seen each other through a lot of different phases.
Yeah,
but yeah, same thing for me. Where you know, I've had multiple times, and I go through this like literally today, like this week, yesterday. I'll still go through this. What the fuck am I doing? Am I going in the right direction? Is this worth it? Should I give up? Should I drop it? Should I just go do something safe and predictable and, you know, whatever? And then the universe is just like, hold on, babe.
Snack.
Now you're good. Here's a little snack. You're fine. Keep going. Keep going.
Yep.
But I mean, I think there's also, I mean, maybe I just am noticing this because I have so many friends who are queer or of a marginalized identity and in creative fields or entertainment. But I really feel like there's a correlation between having the courage and bravery and not willpower, but the fight to keep going after what fulfills you authentically in your soul, no matter how fucking hard it is. So I think there's a correlation between identity journey and career life purpose journey.
Yeah, I think of both.
Right? Because, I mean, we know people who have normal jobs and normal, you know, safe careers, which, like, I envy that because that sounds nice. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, it seems like there's kind of a tie in there that makes things a little bit easier to, not easier, but it gives you the power to keep pushing. Cause you're like, I did this for who I am and I'm going to do this for who I am in my career as well.
Yeah. I mean, I think for me, coming out was the scariest thing I've ever done. Mm-hmm. And I think for a lot of us, it's the scariest thing that we do. And it's such an internal journey before it's external, if that makes sense.
Totally.
Because,
yeah.
Because you know, for years,
yeah,
whether you know or not, you know. Mm-hmm. And then you have that journey of like knowing and then coming to terms with it, and then that can span years of just sitting with yourself and deciding of whether or not you want to take that risk. And so yeah, I've never actually thought about what you just said, but it totally makes sense, because it's like, if you're willing to face that fear about yourself and losing your family and your friends, like taking a step for something that you love and you're passionate about, like a career, is hate.
Yeah, it's like auditioning for some stranger to say, nah, we don't want you, is not that scary when you had to tell your parents something and risk them disowning you. It's like,
right.
Been there. Like, this ain't shit. How do you, I think like everyone seems to have different ways of dealing with, I guess, rejection as a whole and judgment. But do you have any, I guess, tools that you use when you, because especially with acting, like you guys are, man, you guys got to like audition back to back to back to back and have like, no, and maybe like 10 callbacks and then still a no. Like, do you have any tools for dealing with that emotionally so that you don't let it like knock you into the ground?
Yeah. And I think it's sometimes are easier than others. But I just always tell myself whatever role is meant for me will always be mine. And there are so many roles that I was down to, me and one other guy, and the other guy gets it and I'm so upset. And then I see, I love to watch things I don't book, which is really unique because a lot of actors don't like to. But I like to. I like to watch what I don't book because I want to see, one, the choices that they made that might have been different from mine about how they read the scripts and how their viewpoint on the character might have been different and how I can learn from that. But two, I more times than not, they were right for the role and I wasn't. And it just, so there was something about me maybe that casting or the producers liked about me and my choices that got me that far. But 9 times out of 10, he was more right for the role. So it's cool to see, and it's a little bit of a reminder to me in those moments that I'm so upset about it, that like, okay, you are talented, you made it far, you got the validation, but you weren't right for it. That makes sense.
No, totally. I think that reminds me of, I guess, relationships in general, where like people are so bummed out that like a person broke up with them or like the relationship didn't work out. And anytime I have friends telling me like, you know, they're going through heartbreak and they're like, oh, why is this happening? Like, why are they moving on? Why did they break up with me? I'm just like, look at all the ways that you guys weren't truly aligned. Like, this person could be an amazing person. You could be an amazing person. You guys could totally love each other. But just because you're both amazing and have feelings doesn't mean it's meant to be or that it's going to be the most successful relationship that could be. And just because there's somebody else out there that fits that role better doesn't mean that you're any less.
Exactly. That's spot on. Yep.
I wish I had that for music stuff because they're like, there's long festivals and it's like there's 90 million people booked, so you can't. It's a little different, but it music really is a like.
I would argue that the music industry is more tough than the entertainment industry.
I don't know. Like, there's so many different angles to it, and I feel like people who do well, they feel like they can't ever take a breath because it's so hard to get that moment. So when you get that moment, you cannot let it go. But I feel like there's something that I've noticed, and I don't know if it's the same in like the acting world, but at least in the music world where there are, and I'm sure other industries too, but where there are people who are maybe of a more like, not niche, but the less common dominant identity group. Like if there's girl DJs or there's, you know, people of this background or whatever, sometimes there's not as much community support because it's like, there's only room for one. So I'm going to hold on to it. And I'm sorry. Like I got to worry about myself. Do you see that? Like, is there much of a support system and community in the acting realm? Or is it kind of a like isolated every man for themselves? Deal with your shit. Sorry, I'm not helping you.
I feel like if you find a good group of people, like, you know, something that I saw when we all were filming in upstate New York on PLL is a lot of us guys were reading for the same roles outside of the show and offering to self-tape with each other, which is really unique, which I never thought would be the case because I thought, oh, if we're going out for the same role, like you're not going to want to read with me for my
tape. You're my enemy. Yeah.
We're going against each other, but it was a really awesome thing that I got to witness from the guys, at least. Cause I, you know, we were going out for the same roles. Obviously, we're not going out for the same roles as the girls, but and similarly with the girls did the same thing as well. I know that they were reading with each other for the same roles and same projects, which I think is probably pretty unique.
Yeah. I wouldn't have guessed that at all.
Something that resonated with me that you said, as far as like feeling like isolated because there's only room for one type of like marginalized person, is something that I didn't feel from actors, but something that I felt from fans, interestingly enough.
Interesting. How so?
We know that like trans masculine individuals are the least represented within television and film. And so when I booked this role, I was like, oh, this is revolutionary, which I still believe it is.
Yeah.
And when the show came out, you know, Ash is openly transgender, but never talks about it. And that's a choice that Roberto and Lindsay are creators made, which I have always wanted to play too, because I'm so tired of a coming out story. You know, like I'm so tired of focusing on the queer suffering. It's real and it's valid, and that those stories need to be told.
But those are the only stories we've been getting.
Those are the only stories we've been getting, and that's not always the case. Like, yeah, is it tough? Absolutely. But when you come out on the other end, you're happier than you've ever been in your life.
You'd like never go back.
Never go back. And so that was something that I was super excited to tell, because our show in particular is female-led. 9 out of 10 directors were female, which is unheard of. Yeah. The stories that were being told were from the female gaze. So the men on the show are very in support of women, which I thought was incredible. So that, to me, also entails Ash's queerness is not something that's going to be overly talked about.
Right.
He's the leader of the LGBTQ spectrum on campus, and he brings up that he's trans twice in conversation. And I think, for one, once people found out that he was trans, they were like, I wish I would have known from the beginning, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah.
And for two, they didn't really recognize his relationship with Mouse as a queer relationship.
Interesting.
They wanted Mouse to be like in a lesbian relationship.
Interesting.
And it was really interesting, and I had to sit down and really think about it, because I was like, why can't we support all of the LGBTQ plus community?
Yeah.
And I think it's what kind of like what you said, like we've all been told there's only a certain amount of room for each of us. Mm-hmm. And so to see someone else within the community have that space feels like it's being taken away from someone else in the community.
Right. They're like, well, we need more lesbian representation. So why this? Why did you take up that space and get all salty?
Right.
Oh, God. Yeah, that's wild. That was really interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't have guessed that.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have guessed that at all. I mean, I think it's, we did talk about this, because like throughout the whole show, I was bombarding you with texts, because number one, I like spoilers, obviously. But number two, it's a very different show, the way it's written and the representation in it, and it being so clearly like from a different perspective from fucking 99% of the media we're given. But I think it's really interesting, because the fact that it's only brought up twice and kind of later on that Ash is trans, it got me thinking, because obviously I was also on all the Reddit threads, because I'm like, what's going to happen next? What is everyone thinking?
Yeah.
But it made me wonder, what is the line between completely normalized representation, which I think is the goal, right? What is the line between that, tokenization, and also not doing just enough to kind of amplify those stories? Because when we have characters and identities that aren't normally represented and their stories aren't normally shared, it's kind of like, yeah, we want it normalized, but also like maybe when we want to get like give it a little bit more of a sparkle, so that like that representation is given a little bit more oomph. But then sometimes it's overdone, and then it becomes this stereotypical, tokenized thing. So I wonder, and I don't even know if there's an answer to this, but like, what, where are the lines? And is it something that you think they're always going to move depending on where society is, or I don't know.
I don't know. It's so tough, but I think you're absolutely right. It's like there is some sort of line somewhere, and I don't know either where that line is, because if all I've ever wanted to be is normal, right? And but I can never erase my queer past, and I never will, because it's a huge part of my journey. So it's like, where is that line of a character who has a queer past, but is truly accepted in school and not questioned and doesn't face these trials and tribulations? Where is the line of giving that sparkle to his experience, but also not queer baiting, also not, you know, just making it a spectacle?
Yeah.
And I don't know, because it's tough, because there's only so much time in a television show.
Right.
And it's like, I don't know. And I think that'll probably always be.
Yeah. I mean, I also, I'm sure it depends too on like if there was a show about just Ash, it would be completely different and we'd see all these nuanced moments and all that. But I mean, I personally think it's kind of better to have it more normalized than tokenized, because we've seen that and it's so tired. Like there's one show that my girlfriend Ash always watches. I forget what it's called, but it's on Netflix. And like one of the characters is a lesbian, and like they got her in a damn vest all the time. And it's like, she's going through all the things that it's like are so lesbian. And it's like, oh God. Or, I mean, maybe she's actually, she might be bi. I'm not sure. I don't want to misidentify her, but yeah, it's like, it's a little like cringe when it's overdone.
Right.
So it feels much more tasteful and like respectful to have things more normalized versus tokenized. But
I think so too. I mean, I definitely prefer the narrative of Ash just being another kid in school and people finding it out later, you know. To me, that's not erasure. That's just like, there's just more stories being told that are about this specific season.
Yeah.
And that was sexual assault and, you know, sins of mothers and what they did and how that reflects on their daughters and murder and mystery. And, you know, that's what our show is. And I just think the inclusion of a trans character is super cool. And maybe there's more time in season two when we go back. Which,
again, congratulations on season Thank two. You. I'm psyched and I need it to air like tomorrow, but I know we're gonna have to wait a long time. Hopefully not.
I cannot wait to see the shit that they come up with for season two, honestly. It's gonna be crazy.
Do you know when you guys are gonna start filming, or is it just like it's not even there yet?
I do, but I can't say.
You can't say. Okay.
I'll tell you later.
Okay. We won't put it out there. We won't put it out there. So what was your life plan prior to kind of not falling into acting, but like you took a little pivot and here you are. Where did you see yourself going, or where did you hope you would go?
I don't know, because that line for me always changed. I think like, you know, I have been in like fight or flight mode for a really long time. And someone told me last year when I was having this conversation about my story with them, you haven't been above water yet, have you? And I was like, No, I haven't. I've always been treading water since high school. Since my parents divorced, since taking care of my mom, my grandmother passing, you know, dropping out of college to come out here, living in my car, selling shoes at Nordstrom, working at a gym, landing in PR. It was just like, whatever I could do to make myself successful and able to be financially stable was the goal for me. And at the time it was PR. And it was doing that. And luckily I found a good set of friends out here that were super supportive. Our mutual friend Naz let me sleep on their couch. And I think without them, I probably would be back in Georgia or something, you know?
God.
So it was, I never knew, honestly. And I think for me taking that pause and that risk towards acting was really that moment of being like, okay, let's go. Like, let's do this. And it took waiting tables and it took so many things while I was auditioning for me to make it. But now I have a clear path of exactly what I want to do. And it's incredible.
Do you feel at peace with that? Like, do you feel a weight lifted off of you?
Yeah. It's the first time I haven't had to struggle. I mean, I struggle, but
different brand of struggling.
Different brand of struggle. Like, I'm finally above water. Like, I'm in a lifeboat now. And there's a clear path of where I can take this, I think.
I think that's something else too, that like that question, which I just realized now, I'm like, if anyone were to ask me that question, like before, it always used to change as well, because I'm like, I worked at makeup counters in Macy's and worked at a Mac store and worked at the kiosks in the mall selling hair straighteners, like did marketing for a nightclub. Like I didn't know. I was just rolling with it. Mm-hmm. And even now where I'm at, it's like things change and things come up, but I switched the, this is what I want for my life, from a thing, from like, I want to do this thing, to I want to feel this way. Uh-huh. I want to feel secure. I want to feel free. I want to feel peace. I want to feel joy. I want to feel fulfilled. That's the goal. It's not the job. It's not the things I'm going to have. Mm-hmm. And I think that is something that nobody asks you when you're younger, so you don't really think about it. What do you want to be when you grow up? It's always a job.
Always a job.
It's a thing. I don't want to be a job when I grow up. I don't want I want to be fulfilled. I want to be creatively stimulated. I want to be safe. I want to be taken care of in all aspects of my life.
Right.
It's like, that's, I think that's the questions we should be asking kids.
It's true. And I think our generation and younger, and the way we all raise children, if we choose to have them, is going to be really interesting to see, because there's been a massive shift in society and how we just operate and how we view the world and the importance of things, you know? Like, we're not the generation that's like, I'm going to settle in my small town and buy a house and live here and work my job and that's my purpose.
Yeah.
We're just not.
Yeah.
And so I think it'll be really interesting to see how the future generations probably will grow up being like, I want to feel safe. I want to be creatively fulfilled.
Yeah.
I want to have a roof over my head and I want to be in a happy relationship and whatever or not, you know, whatever that is for them.
For sure. What, I guess this is a pivot, but whatever. What do you do to silence negative self-talk? So I think when we're all on our journeys towards becoming fulfilled, becoming happy, becoming safe, chasing after a job, chasing after, you know, whatever we are in our life, there's always kind of that voice that might come in and say, you're not good enough, you should give up, stop trying now, you know, whatever it's doing. How do you tell that thing to shut up? How do you grapple with it? How do you overcome that gnawing thing? If you have unless you don't have it, which would be odd.
That would be so odd. Bullshit. And I was like, you know what? That's a really great question, Lord. Thank you. But I don't suffer from that. So
Can't relate.
Sucks for you. to be honest, quite honest with you, I call my mom, because my mom is my best friend and she knows me better than anyone on this planet, sometimes including myself. And she is one gritty lady, man. You talk about someone that been through shit. My mom has lost most of her family, has been through a divorce, has worked four jobs to put me through high school, take care of her mother dying of Parkinson's, on and on and on and on and on. So clean toilets. I mean, like,
she did it all.
She's done it all. And for me, you know? And so whenever I have like that gnawing, like, you should give up or you're not good enough or X, Y, and Z, like, a caller, and I'm like, here's how I'm feeling. I'm feeling weak. And she reminds me of who I am and my talents and what I can offer. And then usually I cry. And then usually I go through. And then wake up the next day and try to make it a new day.
Wow. I think everyone's going to probably want to call your mom after this. can I borrow her?
Yeah, I'll just put her on a Zoom. And everybody can just hop on it and she'll just go through it. With her thick accent, yeah.
Oh, bless. What inspires you when you are feeling dry creatively, mentally? Whether it's before you're getting into character or when you're just trying to, like, stimulate yourself. What do you do?
Music. I have found that I feel the most creative and in tune and aligned with a character when I listen to specific music that I think that they would listen to.
Ooh, that's good. Do you make like a, like, does Ash have a playlist?
Ash has a playlist.
Oh, that's cool.
And it was continuously updated throughout the season while I was working. And I'll do the same thing probably per audition, usually.
That's really interesting.
Is I'll sit down and I'll think about the character and his attributes and what he's been through and what story he's trying to tell and what can get me to that emotion. And I'll listen to it. And I'll listen to it while I learn my lines, while I say my lines, before I tape, to see if there's any different type of feeling or reflections that come out. And usually it does. I mean, like, music transcends so much. Like, yeah. So much.
Wow, that's actually really interesting. Oh my gosh, how fun. I want to listen to the Ash playlist.
I sent it to you.
Is it public? You should make it public if it's not.
I think it is, but I have my name hidden because there's just a lot of playlists on there.
You can make individual ones public, but
see you later.
I usually ask this question to, because I think honestly everyone I've talked to so far has been a musician of some sort or in music. But I feel like it still correlates to everybody else. So if you could have your dream creation zone, your dream creative space where you get inspired, whether it's for a specific character or for, you know, just in general, get your creative juices flowing. It could be on the moon. It could be under the water. Science doesn't matter. Physics doesn't matter. Anything could be in this space. It could be literally raining on a rainbow, whatever. Like, what would be, would your mom be in there? Would it be like some weird unicorn?
I think it would be a cabin in the woods. Pretty simple. I think it would be a cabin in the woods. My drum set.
You play drums? I didn't know this.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
I didn't know this.
Yeah, surprise.
That's so cool. Oh, fun. Yes. Do you have any other secret hobbies I don't know about?
Probably. I played Division I soccer in college.
What?
Yeah.
Did you ever think you were going to, like, be pro soccer player?
Yeah.
Is that one of your... What the fuck?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I've lived a lot of lives.
Yeah, clearly. My God. Cool. What the hell?
Strange. Yeah.
Wow. Do you still play soccer?
Sometimes, yeah.
For funsies?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I play with Oak in, like, the backyard, and he likes it. And sometimes I'll join, like, a co-ed league during the summer. That's cool. And I just recently played football instead of soccer, so that was fun.
Huh. Interesting. Yeah. Love that. Love that. Staying busy. Staying stimulated. We love that. We love that.
Can't do it.
Okay, so any final thoughts, advice you would give to anybody who is listening, who's maybe a little scared to be themselves, whether that's chasing their career or just who they are in life?
Yeah, I mean, I would just say, like, if you have or don't have a support system, find one, create your family. There's a lot of people in my family who didn't like the idea of my transness, and I created my own family. And so I think what's really awesome about the internet can be a really awful place. But it can also be a really cool place. If you see someone online that you relate to or you look up to or you want to get to know, like, shoot them a message. Shoot me a message. I read them. I respond. I don't think I'll ever get too big for my pants to not do, you know? But yeah, just do it. Do whatever makes you happy. If we really are here just once, do the thing. It's not going to hurt. Do the thing.
Actually, I'm going to plug the She, Her, They Discord right now, because I made that whole situation and there's this amazing little community there and everyone's so cool and so sweet. And there's like all the people are talking about gaming, astrology, books, like just random life venting, like whatever. It's so, so sweet and fun and just great there. So if anyone needs some friends, go to the She, Her, They Discord, www.sheherthey.me. The link's in there, and yeah, it's really cute. But
it's so cute. That's a great idea.
Yeah, they're super sweet. But I guess that's it. We'll leave it on that note of community and doing the thing.
Do the thing.
Thank you so much for doing this. This was lovely, and I can't wait to see you on season 2 of Pretty Little Liars. If you haven't watched season 1, go watch it, because it's amazing. I binged it.
And then you can ask Lauren for all the secrets, because Lauren has all the secrets.
I have all the secrets. I love them. I'm ready for a rewatch too. But yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much. I'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.